Good morning, everyone. It's good morning here, 10:32 a.m. for me. This morning, I wanted to talk about two words, transition or react. How do you react when someone disturbs something that you are doing? Do you go into being angry, or do you keep a calm disposition and transition into the moment with them? I wrote a poem this morning. It's titled, A Light, Gentle Wind, Then Transition. This is about this poem I wrote about me, because for me, every morning, I get up before everyone else. It's when I get up early and I rise sometimes before the sun, it gives me my quiet time, my solace. And during that quiet time and solace, amazing things happen. I can write the most beautiful, clear clarity of poetry like I did this morning, like I did yesterday morning. But sometimes that cannot happen. Sometimes events are out of your control. Like, let me give you an example. A week ago, my sweetheart went in for nose surgery. He has been doing a lot of snoring and having sleep apnea. So he decided, it came down to him feeling really bad because I lose a lot of sleep over it. And it bothers him when I don't get the rest that I need. It bothers him because he feels he's to blame for it. In actuality, he is, but you know what? I look at it, it's something, how can I choose to become angry with him when it's not his fault? It's his body reacting because something's not working. You know what I mean? So he decided that he did not want to keep me up all night with his snoring, nor did he want to feel bad about it. So he called up a nose clinic place and set up an appointment, a very well-known doctor who does a really good job. And he set up this appointment. We took him in. I have to laugh because I have never, in the 2 years that we've been together, I have never seen him so doped out on drugs. And he had to be doped out in order for them to start this procedure. But if you've never seen your person that you love so much act so silly, he's laughing. You're laughing. You're not laughing at him. He knows that he can't help the way that his body is reacting to this drug that's going to keep him sedated while he has this surgery done on his nose. But it's just cute. It's cute watching. So I had to drive him there because he had to take this drug 2 hours prior to his surgery. We get him in there. The surgery is only an hour long, but he is so wiped out. He can't even walk. He's just wiped out. There is no equilibrium talking here. Just wiped out. The muscles in the body are saying, no, I cannot do this. So we put him into a wheelchair, take him down in the elevator, and it is hard. It is hard getting someone to move when he's a very strong-minded man, and he has a lot of masculine energy. And oh my goodness, to try to get him, he wanted to sit in the front seat. Well, as loopy as he was, I couldn't have him sit in the front seat because we know how traffic is. We know that traffic, we cannot control what other drivers do. So, and the nurses were wanting to put him in the front seat. I said, no, because we know how Seattle traffic is. It's a stop and go, and you're having to hit on those brakes all of a sudden. I didn't want to send him forward. Yes, he had a seatbelt on, but still, see, he had no control. You know, when you're alert and awake, you can respond. But when you're doped up on some drugs after a surgery, you cannot respond. Your brain is asleep. The reflexes are not there. So trying to get him into the back seat, it took a little bit of maneuvering because his brain is resisting. His body is just like a limp noodle, but he's a big man. And so, but I had to have him in the back seat because I know how the traffic is. We're 40 minutes away from home. It's a lot of stop and go. And guess what? It's morning traffic. Everybody's on their way to work, north and south. So here we are. We finally get him in there, get him seat belted in. And here's the thing. He was wanting to seat belt himself in, but he couldn't do it because his muscle coordination was not there. But yet that ego is there, that masculine ego that says, I am going to do this. So, you know, in the person trying to help him and the nurses, you have to gather and muster up as much patience that you can as possible. Because in my mind, I want to get it done quickly because I want to get him home and get him comfortable. But he was so adamant about wanting to do the seatbelt himself. Well, guess what? We waited for 15 minutes and he finally got it. Talk about patience. It was just, all of it was just too cute. So we finally get on the road and start heading back for home. Well, guess what he does? 5 minutes away from home, he decides, I have no idea why, and does the seatbelt. Well, there's nowhere to pull over. You got traffic on all sides of you, and I'm not going to pull over on a highway where everyone's doing 70, 80 miles an hour. But I also know that if I get pulled over by a police officer, I'm going to get a ticket. But I had one option in my mind. He's safe where he's at. He's not going to go anywhere. So I just decided that, you know what? I just got to get him home. So I drove as careful as I could, finally got home, got him into the house and got him settled. And I put him right on the bed. You know what? The minute I propped, he had to have his head propped up because of the nose surgery, and they want everything to drain out of him and away from him. So and there it is again, that muscles, the body resisting. It was hard for me. He weighs 250 pounds and it was hard for me to maneuver him, to get him on. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to leave him where he's at. I just need to get a couple pillows propositioned underneath his shoulders and his head so he's propped up. You know what? He fell asleep and he never woke up for the rest of the day, not until evening time. And you know, it's funny, when you get that doped up, you have no control over the bodily functions that happen. And he was embarrassed because he wet himself. And it's like, honey, you know, don't worry, but there's that masculine ego. He did not like that. And he's trying to get up and he's tipping over like a glass jar that's ready to shatter into a million pieces. It was kind of a crazy, nutty day. But it reminds me back to when I was telling you about getting up early in the morning. That is my time to write. It is when I have the most clarity in writing a poem. And I always love to write a poem about something that happens to me or I feel. So this poem is titled A Light Gentle Wind Transition, okay? And you might see how it might apply to what I just told you, the little storytelling I told you about my sweetheart and his surgery. A light, gentle wind, and she's courageously persistent. Spring spills into the open window in the family sitting room. No traffic noise. For a few heartbeats, she breathes softly and deeply. Then they break the silence. She cannot find the words she seeks, but a few sighs. It was significant while it lasted. In her mind, she appreciates them and her moments of solitude. See, fragrance floats, and she steps forward into the next few microseconds and smiles. Life goes on, baby. Life goes on. Now, I hope that you can see in this poem what I'm trying to say. What was the one or two words I said? Transition or reaction? Too many times we invest too much energy into, guess what? The reaction. And when we do, the outcome is not great. Long, long time ago, I remember I used to be that person. I used to get angry when my daughter would come to me and she wouldn't recognize that I was in the middle of a podcast or I was in the middle of writing. She wouldn't take a few moments and observe and use awareness. See, that's where we got to do this. Awareness and observing. If we just pause for a second before rushing into someone, and we just think about it for 30 seconds and say, whoa, you know, am I being inconsiderate here if I just go bang through that office door of my mom's, you know, and I don't think about whether she might be busy with something that's important and significant to her. See, I practice is another word I love to use. How often do we practice awareness? Nowadays, I practice it each and every moment, just like I wrote in this poem. Then they break the silence. She cannot find the words she seeks. What do you think? What words she is seeking? She's seeking the next sentence. She's seeking the depth that's in that sentence because she wants to bring an expression to you that your soul can feel. Your soul might be able to relate to. Now, in transition or reaction, I have to not become angry or frustrated or flustered. I might be for a second, but I'm only going to hold it for a second because if I react to the intrusion, what do they call that? Intrusive thoughts. I know it means a bunch of other things, but that could be intrusive as well. Somebody bombarding into your mind space or somebody bombarding into a project that you are committed to. You have invested in. But how we react is really huge too. And it's time when those opportunities, see, I call it an opportunity because it's an opportunity for learning. It's a lesson. And when my daughter does that, or my sweetheart does that, I say, I have to pause, and I make a quick mental note inside of myself that I want to continue this poem. But I have to pause because you cannot miss that opportunity of calling out a behavior that could have a bad outcome. If we never remind them that something makes us uncomfortable and they're never aware of it, they will continue that behavior through life. Oh, that has been such a valuable lesson for me, is to teach the behavior, what's appropriate and what's not. As parents, we do that. I remember in my younger years, instead of wanting to hear her cry, I would hand her a tablet. That was the wrong thing to do as a parent. The right thing would have been, hey, what are we crying about? You know, what is upsetting you so much? And allowing them to speak, and then also bringing the lesson in there. We're so quick to react with the wrong reaction. And we need to stop doing that. It's sad. It is sad to watch the news, and I can see the children that have been neglected. Because the reason why they're out there and why they're out there creating crime is because of what? They want attention. Attention that they did not get in their younger years. You know how I know this? I was raised in a big family. I had four brothers and one sister. Now, I'm a middle child, and my younger brother, we're both middle child. Two older brothers before me, a sister and a younger brother after us two. Now, my brother Danny, it was like, sometimes it's hard for parents to be able to share their love with all their children, and it's unfair. It's really unfair because my brother Danny suffered. He wanted that attention so badly that he was willing to steal, lie, and cheat to get that attention from my parents. I remember one time, funny story. I remember my mother, she had bought this big bag of salted peanuts. And the salted peanuts my dad and her loved to have after we went to bed. Well, okay, so connect salted peanuts to something that my mother and father love, and here's the story. My brother Danny gets up in the middle of the night because he knows my parents love those salted peanuts. He takes that whole bag of salted peanuts. I have to laugh, you guys. Sits there in the middle of the night, cracking peanut shells to eat all those peanuts. Guess who was sick the next morning? And he's crying because he has a bellyache. But he did this on purpose. Why? Why? Because he wanted some attention from his mother and father. Now, it was funny. I remember hearing him crying and my mom and dad in there, and they're pulling the bunk bed. He slept on the top bunk and my little brother Kenny slept on the bottom bunk. But they pulled the bunk bed away from the wall, and there in the corner was this huge pile of peanut shells. Now, the first thing they did was they got him to feel better, but I remember how much trouble he got in, and at that time I thought about it. Why did my little brother Danny do this? And then it dawned on me, he took the very same thing that they love and he took it and diverted it to himself so he could get their attention. Now, my parents did not see that. See, they didn't see. They didn't see that this big, bold movement that he made, all this energy and investment that he put into cracking all those shells, was demanding something from them. He was trying to say to them, hey, I need you. I need your hugs, your love, and your attention. But no, that did not happen. We got a little flim-flam going on here. My dog is barking. I'm going to grab my tripod with me and close the door and shut this. You know, this is something I know everyone says, oh, you should have styrofoam on your wall so it can mute the noise. But you know what? Life is not muted, is it? Mm-mm. This is reality. And we all share in this reality. Nothing's perfect. We cannot control a situation, but we can control how we react to it. See? So what did I do? I'm talking to you and I'm reacting, but I'm reacting in a calm mode, in a calm energy. You should see these guys. My sweetheart just got home, so they heard his truck. Honey, she's a little chihuahua. She's sitting on the inside of the door with me. Rookie is on the outside of the door, and he feels neglected. Oh, isn't that kind of just like what I was talking about? So back to my brother. See, as parents, we miss the opportunity for the lesson. My brother, in a big, big, huge way, let a cry of help out to my parents, but they weren't listening. And then what happened? He was punished for that cry of help. We can't react that way. We got to dig deeper and say, why did my child do this? It's something that I question myself every day when my Bianca reacts in a certain way or she's in tears. I try to get to the bottom of what the situation is before I want to pass any judgment. See, you can't judge something if you do not know all the facts. And our world is so full of judging. So full of expectations. Oh, you're supposed to behave this way. No, we all behave in a different way, but if we don't call out a behavior that is inappropriate and it hurts other people, then that behavior will continue on. I hope that you enjoyed that poem and this little storytelling. I like to share my stories with you. I have a lot of wonderful people that come in and say, thank you for being so raw and real and authentic. I can't imagine being anything but that. See, I was like my brother. I needed attention from my father in a good way, but I got attention from my father in the wrong way. So I understand that. As we intertwine our lives with other people, we have to be able to be aware of our energy in how we react and how we transition through an experience, through a moment, because it can be a spiraling effect. See, the way that my mom and dad raised my little brother, it wasn't the end of him seeking attention. He continually did it. It's just the issue got bigger and the cry got louder. Why? Because no one was listening. My mom and dad thought that they were right in the way that they raised us children. But as But as a parent now, I could see, and I don't blame them because they were not gifted with a skill set that they needed to make conscious choices. To know that their son or daughter or sons and daughters were asking them, hey, we need you to step up. I want to share something with you. In all of the 18 years of my life growing up, before I got married and moved out, I never got a hug from my mother or father. I did not know what affection was. But nowadays, when I think about it, I don't blame them. I didn't get an I love you, but I don't blame them. Why? Because they were raised in an era that survival was the investment. Affection was not. They were raised in hard times, and I can grasp that now, and I understand that. It is not what I want for my daughters and for my grandsons. I don't get to see them often because I know they have busy, busy lives. But when I do see them, I make the moments count. I give my grandsons hugs and kisses, big hugs and kisses. I give my daughters hugs and kisses because I want them to know how much I love them. We have to share that with our children. We have to open up some energy and show them how much they're loved. And it saddens me to watch the news and see a 12-year-old or 14-year-old with a gun in their hand. But you know, I can't blame them. They are a piece of their environment. They don't know any different. And they need help. Someone needs to open the window, like I said, and let spring spill in. Let love spill in, energy and investment spill into their soul. Because it hasn't been there before. They don't know what light looks like or what love feels like. Okay, this is me signing out. I'm sending you all my love. And God bless all of you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.